Morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Very well indeed. It's kind of warm at the moment. And, well, it's one of those things that dogs kind of behave differently in the warm weather.
Well, they do. Yes, they do. Well, also, we have holidays as well. So we try and put these dogs into kennels or get other people to look after them. So we've got to then see what their behaviour is going to be like when other people are looking after your dog. So is it a bit of a sunbather? Does it seek the shade? You know, tell the people, either the kennels or the daycare people or wherever your friends and family, whoever's looking after your dog whilst you're on holiday, what your dog likes doing.
You speaking of that, we've just been away and Atu went into kennels for 10 days. I'll tell you what, they came back for a rest. They thoroughly enjoy going because they're mixing with other dogs and that. They're not overly large amounts of human interaction, so that, you know, they can actually be dogs. And say they come back, Nuka comes back for sleep and Archie looks at us and thinks, oh, I've got to go home.
Well, exactly so. As you say, they come back being dogs because they're so stimulated, but in the right way with other dogs and with people, again, in the right way, sort of not necessarily over-cuddled and sort of interfered with, so to speak, but they're allowed just to chill out and play with dogs, and they're not forced to go out for walks on hot days, which is a real no-no just because you want to go out for a walk. You know, I've been out for, we went camping last week.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really, the weather was extraordinary. Mm. And I thought, well, I'm not taking the girls on this walk. So half of us stayed back on site and I went trotting off on my own, which is odd when you know, you've got four dogs. It's odd to take yourself off for a walk, but it just wasn't suitable to take the dogs. And I had a lovely walk on my own and it was weird because, but it just wasn't suitable. And I met various people out on my walk that were dragging their dogs about and you think that's just cruel because the dogs wouldn't naturally go for a walk if it's really, really hot.
No, I was going to say, that's the other thing, isn't it, really? Dogs regulating themselves. I've seen many people, you know, decide that, oh, got to take the dog out. Never mind the time. It's the middle of the day. The sun's up there. But I'm going to take the dog for a walk anyway. Two things to that. One is the ground gets very hot and they've got paws and pads that can burn and that stuff. And the second thing is, of course, they have no way of taking off any clothing at all to cool down. So they start to pant. And the longer they're out in it, the worse the panting gets.
Yes. And if they're old, I mean, their hearts get flabby, all that thing. All the organs are working harder and harder. And, you know, they can just die because everything is working so hard just to keep them cool. So go out for a walk yourself. We get so conditioned to what we want to do. We laugh and we say, oh, dogs are conditioned. But we condition them. And I think we're more conditioned than dogs are half the time, if I'm honest.
Well, I think it's because we're told. I mean, you get conflicting reports. But whenever you get a dog and whenever you read a book about owning a dog, there are all these guidelines that are thrown at you about, oh, you must take your dog for a walk then. You must take your dog for a walk. And they need at least an hour and a half's walk and all this sort of stuff. And I can honestly say, in my experience of keeping dogs, I've never found that to be the case.
Well, it is. You've just got to know your dog. So, for instance, recently we had a lovely person message me and say, well, my dog's probably not going to come to class. They've been quite ill. And so we think they might be coming down with something. But they hadn't factored in that the dog had probably been for lots of walks. The weather had got really hot. But on top of which, the daycare person reminded them that they'd actually used some flea treatment on the dog and some worming tablets. And you think, well, you know, if the weather's that hot or that cold or that wet, anyway, if it's extreme, let that pass before, and you feel that your dog's under stress with weather conditions, let all that pass before you start whacking chemicals on for fleas and, in you know, taking pills for worms and such like that. Again, people get so conditioned, it's on their calendar, I must worm the dog, I must de-flea the dog, and they're not thinking, well, actually, what does the dog look like today? Does it look okay? Is it okay to do these things today? What's the weather like? Has it, you know, have we had the dog been really busy the last few days? Has the dog got over hot? Has it been out in the water? Maybe it's got a bit of an upset stomach because it's been in a pond and drunk some manky water because the water levels have gone down, but they don't consider that, and they just use the flea and the worming treatment, and then the dog's really unwell, and then they end up at the vets for and it's all of this could be avoided. And I know it's a huge mistake, they're not deliberate acts, but we don't think, well, hang on, look at the dog. We're conditioned, as you say, dogs need a certain amount of exercise. Yes, they do. And generally speaking, we see a lot of under-exercised dogs, but yet they get over-exercised in the hot weather because we want to be out in the hot weather.
My experience of them, and the only one I can quote is of course, one of my old labs called Dexter, who, he would chase a ball all day long if you let him.
Exactly.
And you had to govern what he did. Purely and simply because you throw the ball for him first time, he'd gallop after it, pick it up, run back. He'd do it again and he'd do the same thing. But by the third or the fourth time, on his way back, he was running sideways almost because of his hips.
Yeah.
So, not all dogs are the same.
No.
And not all advice that you get from canine specialists or books particularly that tell you must do this or you must do that are applicable.
Exactly.
You've got to work out what your dog is like and what tolerances your dog has for these things, because most times it's like, Nuka at the moment, who's getting on a bit and really not up to doing much in the way of a walk. If I got the lead out for her, she'd go for a walk. She'd go for quite a long walk if that's what I was doing. She wouldn't enjoy it, but she would do it because that's what, the lead says we're going for a walk.
Exactly. And also when she came back, she'd be in quite a lot of discomfort afterwards.
Yes.
So, and like you, we've got one of our girls is quite unwell at the moment. And so taking her out in hot weather for a long walk would make her quite unwell. But taking her out in the cooler evening or the cooler first thing in the morning early, she'd get a better deal out of it. But, it's the conditioning. So the other thing is if you do have your dog in kennels or daycare or wherever, make sure you leave some contact numbers. So if you're going abroad, make sure you've got a chum who at the drop of a hat will say, I'll come and pick your dog up from the kennels or the daycare person or your friend. Because if there's a problem either side, like the dog's unwell, or if the person looking after your dog gets unwell, you do need to make sure you always leave contact numbers so they can collect the dog if necessary.
Mm.
That's something we always say if we like the people from class. We will say, well, use us as a contact, feel free to use us, and we'll, if anything dramatic happens, we'll help out. So you can always tell if we like the people if we offer that service. And again, remember, if they get really hot, they shouldn't overdrink. You shouldn't really wrap them in a wet towel. You should let them cool down naturally on a wet towel and get their feet wet and cool them off from the bottom up through the feet, etc.
The other thing I was going to mention, the other thing I was going to mention about taking your dog out at the moment, doesn't matter time of day, is cut grass and grass seeds.
Gosh, yes, absolutely. And we went through a long meadow the other day, and the sneezing, oh my goodness, because, and this is our poor lady's got her nose is giving her a drip at the moment, but it really exacerbated that. She was just having a good old gallop through the grass, and then she was stopped and she was sneezing and sneezing. And so please be aware that grass seeds, they can get into eyes and ears. They can go up sort of through the feet. So do check your dogs over with that.
But it makes them uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Oh, golly, yes. So, this is the thing we were saying about going for walks. One of the main things that dogs like to do, and we all say this, we've said this enough times over the years, is sniffing. As humans, we find that quite boring. Just if the dogs are on the lead, just stand around and let them sniff. But it's one of their main things. They've got a nose, they love sniffing, and it's one of their joys of life, and we shouldn't take that from them. It also reduces the pulse rate, which is fabulous. So it calms the dog down. So it's just a real chill out time. But do allow your dog to sniff when you go out for walks, whether it's on the lead or off the lead. There's been studies to show that if it's on a short lead, the pulse rate goes down less quickly than if it's on a longer lead, but if it's off the lead, the pulse rate goes down even further, and so the and then the joy factor goes up and up. So the
I was going to mention that actually when you talking about sniffing and on the lead and off the lead. I mean, it's quite important, really, that if you can find a space where you can let your dog off the lead, that you do so, and they will go and sniff and that. But again, a lot of people are rather worried about the power of recall of their dogs, and obviously won't be brave enough to do so. But it is actually quite important for the dog to be off the lead, just to be able to go and, well, be a dog, basically, and sniff and do whatever.
Exactly, and that's probably another reason why your guys were really tired when they came back from the kennels, because they had a free rein to sniff, to if they're out with other dogs, to sniff other dogs. Now, this is all off-lead stuff. We never recommend that dogs interact on-lead, because it does cause problems. Not always, but it can cause problems. If a problem arises, then the next thing you've got is a massive issue with a dog that becomes lead reactive. So as a rule of thumb, never interact with dogs on a lead. Off lead, absolutely fine, because they can get away, they can run away, they can, you know, they don't feel tethered, which is obviously what they are if they're on the lead. But yeah, they need to stiff. And the other thing they need to do, and we see this quite often in class, dogs suddenly shake. And we call it shaking off. So they're, sometimes when you hug a dog or cuddle a dog or stroke a dog, they go, oh, they shake, and they shake you off. Now, by doing that, again, that's an emotional thing, and their heart, their pulse rate, everything's probably got a bit more heightened because you've given them a hug and they didn't necessarily want a hug, so on and so forth. And by doing that shake, again, it reduces the old pulse rate. It's very clever, isn't it?
They do have their ways of working things out. And yeah, my experience of dogs on leads as well is the same as yours, that it's probably not the best idea to let dogs on leads actually connect with each other, because on a lead they're in much more of what I would describe as a defensive mode.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see this with dogs. If you watch other people's dogs, if they have interacted on the lead, quite often one will come away and shake. And that's, again, you know, dropping its pulse rate. Well, obviously its pulse rate has got up because it's on the lead, it's interacting with another dog. It feels a bit sort of, might even feel a bit threatened. Nothing's happened, but it feels a little bit on tenterhooks. So it's had to have a good old shake to drop the pulse rate down, you know. And we don't notice these things, and when you do take your dog for a walk, there's so many things that you can do, and mainly it's a huge activity to keep your dog's pulse rate down, so it lowers it. So it's like stuff that we would do, yoga and stuff like that. It's hugely mentally and physically beneficial for dogs, and it's the different sorts of walks that you can go on as well. It's, you know, you've got your training walk, you've got your chatty walk. So we haven't seen one of our chums for a while, and we went on a walk the other evening with her and her dog, and our dogs were so cheery. They were so cheery because our older lady wasn't having the best day, and we said, oh, we're going to go and meet Emma and Callie, and she cheered up. And then, because when we all met up, the two dogs, it was like, oh, hi, mate, how are you? And they were charging around together because, you know, they weren't touching each other and being raucous. They were just running with each other, sort of, you know, trotting along and cantering along. And then they'd stop and one would sniff and say, oh, come and sniff this. And, you know, it's lovely to watch, but we're often in such a hurry with our dogs. And that's what you were saying earlier, that there's all this advice, dogs have to be walked so many minutes a day doing this, which I do agree with, but within that time, it's about the type of walk and the benefit of the walk. Some walks need to be a jolly good, you know, march, because it's good for the body, you know, it gets the blood going round, it's good for the joints and the muscles, and it's a good old leg stretch. And then some need to be slower and chatty, some need to be sniffy. It's just getting it right, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say my experience of all of this is really the stimulation of the dog is much more important than the actual walk. So if you haven't always got the time to sort of take your dog out the front gate or the back gate to go for a walk, spend some time with your dog and stimulate them in some way. Otherwise, they can get into a bit of a pickle, really. But, I mean, that's the thing with a lot of these dogs. I mean, our Archie in particular, I mean, he'd stay out all day and run all day if you let him. It wouldn't help with the issue that he has, which is that he's not very keen on men for some reason, and he will just get out of the way altogether. He doesn't like traffic, and he doesn't like the wind. And taking him for a walk will not sort of solve that little problem particularly. And, you know, I'm guessing that, you know, most people know their own dogs and what they're capable of, but tend to shy away from actually dealing with an issue that they might have, which is why I mentioned a little earlier on about letting your dogs off the lead, because so many people won't do that because they're frightened that they won't get their dog back. Well, the answer to that, as far as I can see, is learn the recall with your dog.
Yeah, training. It's all down to training. Yeah. And also, yes, you know, your little fellow is happy when he's off the lead. He's happy when he meets other dogs and everything off lead. His main thing is when he's on the lead. And again, it's that feeling tethered. You can't get away.
Yeah.
So if a man comes towards when you're out walking him, he's more likely to feel stressed because he can't get away. You were saying that in the house, he's more likely trying to scoot past you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're standing up, than in the garden. Where yeah. again, in the garden, they feel freer. I mean, it's all about the different smells that are out in the garden that probably can relax the dog. It's sort of, you know, if we stand outside and we take in the evening air, we feel very different from standing in the kitchen and taking a big deep breath. It's so different, but people don't even. It's so simple. It's just there's just a wall between the two things, but people don't see that. But I mean, dogs get it. So he's going to be more relaxed in the garden. It means something other. There's different smells, all sorts of things. So you're going to get probably a better deal from him. But ultimately, if he's funny like that on the lead, what we would say is, try and walk and find other people. You just stop and talk to them, but also engage with people and get them to hold his lead.
Yeah.
And walk with you with them holding the lead. And if you can get to know, I know you were saying that once he knows people, he's absolutely fine. But if you can sort of meet these so-called strangers without getting too much of a reputation, obviously. but if you could get to know how this is going to happen, and then this particular stranger, so say, can then hold your little fellow's lead, and then gradually walk along and chat to him, put their hand down, and gradually, you know, start stroking him, he'll then learn that it'll just get better and better. But as you say, so many people avoid this situation. When we were camping last weekend, whenever it was, we saw two people on one walk alone that saw us and dived into a bush with their dog. And you think
yep.
that, I don't know if it was us that was alarming, but I get that their dogs were slightly problematical. Well, they're not going to achieve anything by that.
No.
It's going to make their dogs feel very suspicious. And
yeah, I mean, that is where I'm going to call a halt to it today, but we're going to come back to that very point about your dog and strangers and other people. And if we can look at that in a month's time, that would be good, because I think we've gone about as far as we can today, Wendy. We've run right out of time. I think I'm going to take our little fella on a bit of a walk and say to the first person, say, take the dog for a walk for a while, will you, for me, and see how he gets on.
And if they run, you're going to have to run to catch up with them. Yeah, but I'm sure
I think Archie
work.
Can run faster than most of us, but there you
I
go.
Think he can.
Wendy, for
I think
now,
so.
Thank you for talking to us this morning, and we'll catch up with you again in a month's time.
Thank you, Tony.